Well, it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today. The creature, the created, one in right state and mind, endeavors to avoid pain. They don't seek it out. They don't desire it. They don't want to feel it. They want to avoid becoming pain's subject. We go to great lengths to avoid pain. We purchase and put on equipment. We calculate risk. We hold ourselves back from that which might injure. We even pull back from adventure and experience when it might be a cause for pain. And yet, I would say that although pain is not pleasant, it is a powerful force, a powerful agent, a powerful means, a powerful instrument. A person determined to get their body in shape will know pain. A mother determined to get her baby out will know pain. A person enrolled in physio will experience and endure pain that mobility might return. An athlete seeking to excel, to rise to a new height, a new level, will subject themselves to pain. A parent will inflict pain on the backside of a child that they be raised up in right manner. Spare the rod, spoil the child. The Word of God says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that loveth his son chasteneth him betimes." A child feels pain, growth pains, growing pains that they might grow. Pick up an acoustic guitar and start learning. Setting your fingers on the strings, pain, part of the process. Until calluses form. And still pain, part of the process as the muscles are trained in new manner. The process of pain, the desired result, be one's portion. It wasn't so long ago that I suffered a physical injury. One of my fingers crushed and severed, multiple fractures. And so Psalm 6:2, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed." The ESV, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled." Listen, I prayed for healing. I believe in the healing power of God. I know the healing power of God. I've felt it. I've seen it. There is no doubt. It's real. I held off going to emergency until the next morning. The bleeding had still not stopped, so I made my way. I took my Bible because I know the waiting. Patience, son. Upon checking in, the lady commented, "Well, you brought the right book. The wound needed to be cleansed. The wound needed to be closed. I needed stitches. I needed an X-ray. And now the process begins." As the flesh was being restored, a level of pain present. And as the fractures, the fragments started fusing together, pain was present. The change in the weather, noted. As the extremity was being restored, there was the reality of pain, and the Lord spoke to me. Sometimes healing hurts. Now I would like to give glory to the Lord today. For one of the great miracles and gifts of God is the body's ability to mend, to heal. This is part of the great design of God, the Creator. The Creator. And a body that creates afresh. What a wonder. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You know, perhaps after this service, we will view pain differently. Physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, spiritual pain. In some cases, pain is necessary that there be healing. Pain is part of the process. Pain is proof that healing is taking place. Proof of renewal and strengthening and even advancement. Proof of new growth. Proof of new birth and new life. Does the Lord use pain? We know that pain is a result of the fall. And yet, as we live out our lives in this fallen world, pain can be a powerful agent of God. C.S. Lewis said these words, "God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." Pain to rouse a deaf world, and pain to rouse a deaf saint. One heart of hearing. The words of Oswald Chambers, "When God gets us alone through suffering, heartbreak, temptation, disappointment, sickness, or by thwarted friendship, when he gets us absolutely alone and we are totally speechless, unable to ask even one question, then he begins to teach us." Pain. Pain rouses us. Pain humbles us and draws us closer to God. Pain teaches us surrender. Pain teaches us reliance and trust. Let's go deep today. The words of David Wilkerson, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word," Psalm 119:67. I believe in healing. I believe in affliction. I believe in healing afflictions. Any affliction that keeps me from going astray, that drives me deeper into his word, is healing. God's most gracious healing force, spiritually and physically, can be afflictions. To suggest that pain and affliction are of the devil is to suggest that David was driven by the devil to seek God's word. "I have suffered great pain. I have called on God for deliverance, and I believe in him for complete healing. Yet while I go on believing, I continue to thank God for the present condition and let it serve to remind me how dependent on him I really am. With David, I can say it is good for me." Pain and affliction are not to be despised as coming from the devil. Such burdens have produced great men of faith and insight. "Casting all your care upon him," 1 Peter 5:7. Paul spoke of the cares of the churches that were thrust upon him. Every newborn church was another care on his shoulders. Growth, expansion, lengthening of stakes always involve new cares. The man God uses must have broad shoulders. He dare not shrink under the challenge of numerous cares and responsibilities. Every new step of faith God leads me to take has brought with it numerous new cares and problems. God knows just how many cares he can trust us with. It is not that he seeks to break us in health or strength. It is only that willing laborers are few, and the harvest is so great. Cares are taken from those who refuse them and given as gifts to those who are not afraid of them. Forget the load of cares you carry. Can we not cast them all on him? Every new blessing is related to a family of cares. They cannot be divorced. You cannot learn to live with the blessing until you learn to live with the cares. You know, pain keeps us humble. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, to beat me. Lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The J.B. Phillips New Testament, so tremendous, however, were the revelations that God gave me that in order to prevent my becoming absurdly conceited, I was given a physical handicap, one of Satan's angels, to harass me and effectually stop any conceit. Wow. 3 times I begged the Lord for it to leave me, but his reply has been, my grace is enough for you. For where there is weakness, my power is shown the more completely. Therefore, I have cheerfully made up my mind to be proud of my weaknesses, because they mean a deeper experience of the power of Christ. I can even enjoy weaknesses, suffering, privations, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. For my very weakness makes me strong in him. Pain. You know, there is the account of Smith Wigglesworth, a man used mightily of God in the realm of healing, that he himself was dealing with incredibly painful stones in his body and would be bleeding as he ministered and as the Lord was healing others. Pain keeps us humble. Pain is used to train and to cause fruitfulness. We pick up the text, Hebrews 12, verses 6 to 11. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us, as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. John 15:2, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Why? That it may bear more fruit. Pain paves the way for the bettering of others. The words of the Apostle Paul, Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth pains, in birth again until Christ is formed in you. The Amplified, my little children, for whom I am again suffering birth pains, until Christ is completely and permanently formed, molded within you. Pain. And what of the martyrs who spilt their blood for king and kingdom and cause and conquest? Pain endured. Think of the pain Christ endured. Surrendered himself to that there be salvation, reconciliation, redemption, restoration, freedom, liberty, life, healing. Where would we be if there was no pain for Christ? If Jesus had never suffered, if he'd never felt any pain. If he chose a pain-free life, a pain-free existence, where would we be? Be lost. Isaiah 53:4 and 5, please hear the words today. Surely he has borne our griefs, sickness, and carried our sorrows, pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded, that is, pierced through for our transgressions. He was bruised, crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, literally blows that cut in, we are healed. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Verses 10 and 11. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That word bruise literally crush him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Let it be so with us, Lord. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You remember the clash between Jesus and Peter? The exchange of words? Matthew 16, beginning of verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. All of a sudden, Peter took him aside. He took him aside and he began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Is the Christian life a pain-free life? Is that our thinking? Is that our mindset? Is that our view? Is that our doctrine and theology? J.B. Phillips, New Testament, you look at things from man's point of view and not from God's. The message, you have no idea how God works. The NLT, Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." The Wycliffe Bible, "Thou art a cause of stumbling to me, for thou savorest not those things that be of God, but those things that be of men." And the Amplified, "But Jesus turned away from Peter and said to him, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are in my way.'" You are in my way. An offense and a hindrance and a snare to me. For you are minding what partakes not of the nature and quality of God, but of men. Man, what a set of words. What a set of words. Sometimes healing hurts. And sometimes healing costs. It can mean the spending of finances. Remember, concerning physical healing, the Lord uses doctors and medical means as well. Colossians 4:14, I'm glad it's in the text, Luke, the beloved physician. Philip's New Testament, Luke, our beloved doctor. And what of the purchase of healing balm made of the very things created by God? Sometimes healing hurts. The pain part of the process. And sometimes healing costs. And not just physical healing. Healing can cost us our pride. Second Kings 5, beginning at verse 1, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel, a little maid of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus said the girl who was from the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, 'Now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy.' And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious, went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned away. He turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more? How much more than when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." Listen, the man had to spurn his pride and humble himself. He needed to give himself to the healing process of the Lord. This man thought his healing would have come in a different manner, and one more spectacular. And at first he despised the prescription of the prophet. The Voice Bible reads, "Naaman boiled with anger as he left Elisha. He had come to his house expecting something much different. 'Naaman, what is this? I came here thinking that Elisha would come outside and call upon the name of the Eternal One, his God, and that Elisha's hand would pass over my sores and heal my skin disease, not the waters of the Jordan. The rivers in Damascus are greater rivers than all the rivers of Israel combined, so why couldn't I just go bathe in those and be healed?'" The Message paraphrase, Naaman lost his temper. He spun around saying, "I thought he'd personally come out and meet me, call on the name of God, wave his hand over the disease spot and get rid of the disease. The Damascus rivers are cleaner by far than any of the rivers in Israel. Why not bathe in them? I'd at least get clean." He stomped off, mad as a hornet. Are you in need of healing today? Whatever the realm might be, and the answer of the Lord has come, but there's pride, reluctance, and even anger has risen in you. You see, this man wouldn't have been healed unless he pained his pride. Reluctance and anger. Unless he injured his own expectations. Are you in pain today? Sometimes healing hurts. The pain you are feeling now is part of the healing process. The process of physical healing. The process of mental healing. The process of emotional healing. The process of spiritual healing. And how about relational healing? Those words, God's most gracious healing for spiritually and physically, can be afflictions. It's been said one of the main ways we move from abstract knowledge about God to a personal encounter with Him as a living reality is through the furnace of affliction. It's so true. Listen, there are many that have this abstract knowledge of God. They don the doors of churches every Sunday. They even crack the book and read it. They have an abstract knowledge of God. But it's time to move to a personal encounter with Him as a living reality. And the means might just be the furnace of affliction. 1 Peter 5:10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved, that is, distressed by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, highlight it, genuine faith, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, it could be that the Lord is at work. You're looking at what you're going through, the pain you're feeling, whatever realm it might be. It might just be that the Lord is at work. You say, it couldn't be so. It might just be so. Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Good news, people, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. We can have the worship team return today. You know, C.S. Lewis, I love this line. I love this quote from him. We are not necessarily doubting that God will do the best for us. We are wondering how painful the best will turn out to be. Wise man. Wise man. Not my words. I'll repeat it. We are not necessarily doubting that God will do the best for us. We are wondering how painful the best will turn out to be. You know, I'm willing to endure some pain for God's best. Whatever that looks like, whatever it means. I mean, if I've committed to following the footsteps of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His path was not a pain-free path. There was rejection along the way, loneliness, despised, looked down upon, What kind of a Savior are you? We were looking for a political Messiah. And you know, when the time came, he took it all in silence. Perhaps we should be more like him and take it all in silence. A lot of talk, a lot of out of words. Is the Lord calling us to get in shape? To give ourselves to a process that might just include pain? Is the Lord intending to bring something to full term in an hour of birthing? Is there some process needed that mobility might return to our faith and our Christianity? Is the Lord wanting us to excel, to rise to a new height, a new level? It may be that we need to beat our body into submission, inflict a little pain, that we need to administer a blow to the flesh that righteousness rise. We know our Heavenly Father wants us raised up in right manner. Has the sound ceased? The sound of music. Pain, part of the process until calluses form, and still pain, part of the process as the muscles are trained in new manner. Psalm 144:1, blessed be the Lord my rock who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Perhaps you're in the house of the Lord today and you're still straying. Psalm 119:67, New King James Version. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I keep your word. The Wycliffe Bible. Before that I was made meek, literally enduring injury with patience and without resentment. Before that I was made meek, I trespassed. Therefore I kept thy speech. Before that I was punished, I trespassed. But thereafter I have obeyed thy word. I know that in my times of pain, I have been drawn closer to the Lord. I have felt my great and desperate need of him and the truth of my dependency upon him. Though it may not always be pleasing, there is blessing in the valley of pain. A closeness and intimacy, rare jewels that can be found and obtained in no other way. I have my pearls of pain. And I know many of you have yours as well. Pain not part of our theology? Matthew 16:23. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. Let's savor the things that be of God. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today. Lord knows where you're at. He sees each one, not just the collective unit, not just the corporate body. He sees every person here, every son, every daughter in the house of the Lord today. Lord, we trust you. Lord, we trust you.